Good evening. I want to thank everybody for taking some of their valuable time to join us this evening. So I'm going to start with the following question. Have you ever tried solving a riddle? So let me throw a riddle out at you. And Be'ezus Hashem, by the end of this evening's lecture, hopefully we'll be able to solve the riddle. So here's the riddle. There are 30 cows in a field and 28 chickens. The question is, how many didn't? So again, 30 cows in the field and 28 chickens. How many didn't? Now, riddles are tough to figure out because they're meant to be mysterious and they usually give us very little information to work with. When you try to solve a riddle, you have to use the information, what we know, and you have to fill in the missing pieces, which isn't always easy. Further, riddles often make us question and rethink what we assume to be true. So the correct answer to the riddle can hinge on seeing a key idea in the riddle in a totally new way. Events in life are much like a riddle. Just like riddles provide limited clues, oftentimes, the clues are hidden. Life also presents us with events that come with hidden clues. Now, Derech Hashem explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately hides himself. The main clue as to who's behind all the events is hidden, just like in a riddle. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself within the confines of nature. So in our world, just like with riddles, the correct interpretation of events that Hashem is behind the events is concealed. Now, this camouflage serves a significant purpose. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants to be hidden for no reason. The reason why there's hesed upon him, which means that Hashem is hidden, is to allow us to exercise our bechira, which is the free will to choose to do the right thing. And the choice that we have enables us to earn and relish unparalleled internal reward, which is then truly deserved due to our immense efforts. But at the end of the day, it's still difficult to figure out what's going on in life. Furthermore, like riddles, life events are open to different interpretations. There are different perspectives which can lead to different understandings, which means that in order to solve life's riddles, we must demand a deeper analysis to grasp the true meaning. And finally, both riddles and life events often have underlying assumptions that may not be true. Many of life's events with limited insight focus only on the obvious. And the person focusing on the event is oblivious to the underlying cause and purpose of the events. These shallow interpretations, in effect, disregards the root causes. You know, it's like a doctor treating a fever while ignoring the underlying infection. So having said this, let's now delve into the riddles of the recent events that we've all been privy to. I'm referring to the main events that have occurred on the world stage since October 7th, which, similar to a riddle, are very difficult to understand. They're very difficult to figure out. Question number one, what was the purpose of the October 7th massacre by Hamas? Next question, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to learn from such an event? What's the correct lesson for us to take? And what should our response be? Like a riddle, the answers are very difficult to figure out. I'll give you another riddle. Another riddle is the tremendous increase in anti-Semitism. the vicious anti-Semitism has spilled over to our shores. They're on the college campuses around the world. They're all over the place. You can't get to Manhattan. You can't go through Chicago. You can't get to Washington, D.C. The other day, they were demonstrating in San Francisco. I know there's a lot of other stuff that goes on in San Francisco, but they were demonstrating over there. And it just, it never seems to end. It only increases. It only gets worse. So our riddle is, what is the purpose of such vile anti-Semitism? And what about HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us? Let me throw a couple of more riddles. More recently, on April 5th, less than 2 weeks ago, a once-in-a-lifetime event occurred in the New York City metropolitan area. I was on the phone with my daughter 10:20 in the morning on Erev Shabbos. My daughter was in Eretz Yisrael, and in the middle of a discussion, I said, whoa, the house is shaking. And it turned out, we all know what happened. There was a 4.8 magnitude earthquake that jolted the region. And the last earthquake that was similar in strength, a 5.0 magnitude earthquake, centered around New York City, happened in 1884. Let's go to the next event. Monday, April 9th, there was a total solar eclipse. The eclipse that we experienced this year is the only total solar eclipse of the 21st century to pass through the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And in fact, the next total solar eclipse that can be seen in the contiguous United States will be on August 23rd, 2044. And finally, let me go to the last event. On Motzei Shabbos, this happened on April 13th, the past week, Iran shot over 330 drones and missiles against Eretz Yisrael, and it was the first time that either country had launched a missile from its own territory towards the other. Now, I think most people are aware as to what's going on. Israel has threatened to retaliate. Iran has vowed to unleash a weapon, quote, never used before, end quote, against Israel. Some have speculated Iran could be hinting at unleashing nuclear, biological, chemical warfare. It's not a pretty sight. Now, what compounds all this confusion of all of these unusual events is that we're told that Mashiach is right around the corner. And we are taught that in the Hebrew month of Nisan is an opportune time for miracles and redemption, b'nisan nigalu, b'nisan asirin ligal. So here's the mother of all riddles. Is this what the beginning of Geula looks like? And why are these recent unusual events, once in a lifetime, once in a century, why are they happening now, right before Pesach? Is there a connection to Pesach? Is there a connection to Geula? So Be'ezus Hashem, tonight, I'd like to provide some explanation, hopefully, with Siyata Dishmaya to these events, and to allow us to have some insight into what our mindset should be and what our response should be. But to attempt to solve these events, similar to solving a difficult riddle, and again, Be'ez Hashem, I will solve the riddle that I started out with this evening. There are 30 cows in a field and 28 chickens. How many didn't? But to attempt to solve the riddles of the last big events, we need to fill in first the gaps and to give the true perspective and what we know to be the emes. So let me go through a few quick realities. Reality number one. Although HaKadosh Baruch remains hidden, the Pasuk says, Hashamayim, the heavens, Mesaprim, declare Kavod Kel, the glory of Hashem. Umaisi Yadav, Magid Harakia, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. Which means, whenever something happens, we need to know that it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to us. It is a very clear message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. as Rav Chaim Kanievsky explains, the heavens and this pasuk is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is speaking to us. In fact, a fundamental tenet to be able to withstand all the turmoil of the Ikpas of the Mashiach, which everyone said, going back to the Chofetz Chaim back in 1914, where the Chofetz Chaim said, we are living in the Ikpas of the Mashiach, that's over 110 years ago. As the Mishnah says, we have only to rely on Ovin Shabbat Shamayim. That means this emphasizes the deep-seated trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, constant and unceasing involvement in the world, better known as his Hashgacha Pratis. So we also need to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us, no matter what the situation is, as the Pasuk says, Gam ki elech, when I go, begate Salmavas in the place of death, lo yira ra, I will not fear ra, evil, ki ata imodi, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants to get our attention, you know what he does? He makes sure that we notice that he's speaking to us. He does it with more than the run-of-the-mill event. He does it by imposing difficulties and tragedies, similar to the October 7th event. For example, the Ran, addressing a rare, strange event, the devastation caused by the Black Plague almost 700 years ago. The Ran clearly identified the deadly epidemic as the word of the work of Hashem. And I quote the Ran, for the evil Black Plague descended in 1348 upon most of the inhabitants of the earth, bringing upon them unusual afflictions, which is impossible to attribute to the workings of nature. And therefore said the Rani concluded, unusual experiences are Hashem's way to grab our attention and to build the awareness that carry us securely, even when Hashem decrees situations that are more difficult to bear. You know what that means? That means these unusual events, October 7th, the Iranian attack, these unusual events, even the earthquake, they are so unusual. And even though it may have brought unfathomable tragedy or suffering, we still attribute this to the Yad Hashem. When we talk about the Iranian attack on Eretz Yisrael, we need to know that that so-called declaration of war is clearly in Hashem's hand. And this applies in the case of war more so than all other events, because we know, Chazal tell us, Lev Melachim b'yad Hashem, the heart of kings are in the hand of God. And although man has the free will to choose between good and evil, the king's decisions, listen to this, particularly those affecting global affairs such as war, are directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Rav Mordechai Gipta would encourage his students to view world events such as wars as divine messages. So when we hear that Eretz Yisrael has been attacked by Hamas, when we hear that Eretz Yisrael has been attacked by missiles and drones by Iran, we need to know clearly that this is clearly Yad Hashem. There's no suffix. And although we know everything is through Hashgacha Pratis, when it comes to war, we say, Lev Melachim, the heart of kings of Yad Hashem. They have no Bechira. They're doing exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to do. That's reality number one. Reality number two. Everything in the world has a spiritual purpose. That means everything in existence, from celestial beings to rocks, everything is anchored by a spiritual essence or a soul in the Shoma representing its spiritual purpose. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who made everything, instilled in it, so to speak, a spiritual purpose. That was the whole purpose why it was all created. Now, if the purpose of everything is spiritual, then we're not going to be able to fully comprehend everything. And that's why Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says about Emunah. Emunah nemra rak legabe hadvarim. Emunah applies specifically the things that we cannot understand with our own wisdom. If somebody understands what's going on clearly, in order to accept it, he doesn't have to resort to amuna. He understands. He said, that makes sense. So I want to be clear. When people say, it doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, I understand. It's frustrating. But on the contrary, that's where amuna really comes in. Because if something is happening and it makes sense, you know what? You don't need amuna to understand that it's true or that it's real. Because you understand it on your own. Emunah really applies, more importantly, said Rabbi Sol Salantin, Sefer Kaychayor. He says, Emunah applies to something, Amashu Enoi Masigon B'Chach Basar, what he cannot understand with his own intellect. In fact, the Chassam Sefer suggests that global events, especially wars, are orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu through heavenly representatives of every nation. In effect, the earthly conflicts, the wars, mirror the outcomes of the heavenly court. That means currently there is some deliberation going on in Shemayim between Iran and Klal Yisrael. So to summarize, there are two realities that in order to solve the riddle of the events that have occurred since October 7th, number one, we have to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally involved in everything, especially in wars, because Lei Malacha B'Yad Hashem, and that everything that occurs has a spiritual purpose. And that's why they're difficult to figure out. They're confusing, because we're not privy to all the underlying assumptions and all the behind the scenes, because it's happening in Shemayim. It's all Ruchnius, it's spiritual. The moral is that even when you have these unfortunate events, and they can be devastating, the spiritual purpose is meant to guide us, the Jewish community, towards a spiritual awakening that brings about ultimate bracha. So the moral gives us somewhat of an insight that makes sense to us, although emunah means even if it doesn't, we can't fathom what's going on. The morale gives us a little bit of an insight. And Purim is an example of that. What happened in Purim? Klal Yisrael, Hatoshal, was almost destroyed. Yet that was to get Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. And with that tshuva, we had bracha. The same thing applies to October 7th. The same thing applies to the attack by the Iranians on Eretz Yisrael. Fact number three, reality number three. The first lesson in Emunah in the Torah is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu Mitzrayim, Lochein, Emol of Yisrael, say to Klal Yisrael, Ani Hashem, I am God, V'yoytzeiti Eska Mitachas Sibelois Mitzrayim, and I'm going to take you out of the bondage of Mitzrayim. I'm going to deliver you, V'lokachti Eskam Lila'om, and I will take you to be my people. This is all in Shemais. V'hayisi lachem l'alekim, and I will be your God. V'yadatem, and you need to know, ki ani Hashem elokeichem. The Dubna Magid explains that these miracles that occurred in Mitzrayim was not just to deliver us from slavery. More importantly, it was intended to instill our deep-seated emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to illustrate that Enoid Mogadoi. In fact, the whole purpose of going out of Mitzrayim is to teach Klal Yisrael to know V'yadatam ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. Not just to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but it's to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything in the world. The purpose of Emunah and the purpose of Mitzrayim, and that's why Mitzrayim is the linchpin for Emunah for Klal Yisrael, is we adopt them to clearly know. Now, what does it mean to clearly know? So if you take a look in the Torah, it said, Vayah Yisrael Sayyar HaGadoy, Lashos HaShav in Mitzrayim. And Klal Yisrael saw the Yad HaGdolah Hashem did in Mitzrayim, Vayiru Ames Hashem, and they feared God, Vayamidu Basem V'Moshe Abdo. That means that only once Klal Yisrael saw the miracles in Mitzrayim, Vayah Yisrael, the Pasuk said, and they saw Vayah Vayiru Ames Vayamidu Basem V'Moshe Abdo. Vayah Yisrael Tayyad HaGdolah. Klal Yisrael was told before that by Moshe Rabbeinu that they're going to leave Mitzrayim. But it wasn't until they actually saw all the Makkos and all the Nisan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eibishter's power manifest itself against the Mitzrayim. That's when they truly believed. And you know what the limit is? The limit is for us that if we only have emunah on the level of seichel, called sichlius emunah, that's not enough to withstand the difficult times. You know, they talk about the October 7th, Heaney's crimes, and they say when the U.S. House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Committee invited 150 lawmakers from both parties to watch a 40-minute video of Hamas's deadly October 7th massacre in Israel. They sent out the email to the members, and the committee described the video as proof of Hamas war crimes. In fact, in the news they said some of the members were visibly shaken. Some of them actually cried. You know why? They knew about it. They had heard about it. But seeing is believing. The level of emunah that we have to have with clarity is the level of emunah where we experience it, where we see it. The Shlach HaKadosh writes that the intellect alone is insufficient to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Seichel is only an advisor. It's not the ruler of a person's action. And although the Seichel represents the Neshama, which represents the spiritual component of man, the intellect does not have the power to force the person to fulfill its decree. So the only way to ensure that we rise to the level of emunah that can withstand the difficult moments in life is only if we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. And that's what we mean. The Yadatem, we have to know with clarity. We have to know that means we have to feel it. There are many stories. I included over 125 stories of Ashgacha Pratis in the book. I'd like to share two quick stories with you. How when people actually went through the experience, they felt the Yad Hashem, and that changed them totally. One story is about Rabbi Leifer, the founder of the Masifta Shas, a wonderful scholarly project that put many of the commentaries on Shas together in one source, in one place. Rabbi Leifer was facing financial challenges, and he decided to halt the project. He didn't have enough money. And because he was under so much stress, Rabbi Leifer fell ill with chest pains, and his rabbi suggested that he contact a cardiologist. The cardiologist's name was Dr. Berkowitz, who I happen to know very, very well. And I confirmed the story with him. That's why I included it in the book. So you hear what happened? Rabbi Leifer mistakenly called not Dr. Berkowitz, the cardiologist. He mistakenly called somebody else by the name of Berkowitz. Now, this other person, Berkowitz, was a previous sponsor of one of the Masechtas in Rabbi Leifer's project of Masechta on Shas. So when Rabbi Leifer realized his mistake, so to speak, mistake, he realized that it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't coincidence. And he pitched a collaboration. Berkowitz agreed, and he pledged $100,000, and the project continued. And Baruch Hashem, the rest is history. Masifta, which is a wonderful, wonderful project, Masifta endured, and Rabbi Leifer was able to finish this Shas, which helped Klal Yisrael enormously. By the way, Rabbi Leifer never contacted the cardiologist. There's another remarkable story in the book. The story about Rabbi Nachman Seltzer, the famous author of many art school books. At the time of the incident, It takes place where Rabbi Seltzer was running a kollel in Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, the group of people upon whom he relied on to make the $8,000 payroll for that particular month was unable to do so. Rabbi Seltzer racked his brains out for a solution, but he couldn't figure out what to do. He had payroll to make the very next day and no solution in sight. Listen to this. Rabbi Seltzer went to Davin Ma'ariv, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, you know how hard I work to pay the younger light? I have nowhere to turn and nobody to ask. I have to pay them by tomorrow morning. How am I going to do that? And he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, I have no strength to do anything more. I am asking you to do the rest. You believe this? So when he opens up the door the next morning, I don't know if he slept that night, but when he went out to Davin Shachar the next morning, he bumped into a friend that he had not seen in some time. And after they exchanged greetings, he related the dilemma of the $8,000 shortfall, and his friend reached into his pocket and gave him an $8,000 check. Unbelievable. You know, these happy endings are difficult to wrap your head around. In both instances, the people involved were on the brink of disappointment and desperation. And maybe that's what Rabbi Saul Salanta refers to. It's not just the tragedies that we can't understand and we have to rely on Amunah to say that it comes from a loving God, the Yad Hashem. When Rabbi Saul Salanta writes Amunah, Nemra, it applies rock specifically, the Gabi Advom Shah, the Meidam Asiyam B'Chachmasai. No matter what the person's situation is in life, if he relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he has a Muna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help him and he loves him, then guess what? He'll rely on Hashem. And oftentimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes through. So the question is, how can we achieve such a level of Amunah? How do we acquire such Amunah? The confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come through even in the most difficult and desperate situations for us. So again, the story of Mitzrayim gives us the answer. Take a look in the Pesukim. Listen what the Pesukim say. The Gamani Shamati Hashem said, I heard as Nakas B'nai Yisrael, the cries, the moans, the groans of Kwa Yisrael. Hashem Mitzrayim Abidim Oysam. That they made him the hard work. L'chein, therefore, Emol of Nei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell Klai Yisrael, Ani Hashem v'hoitzeisi oisom v'eskaz barisi, and I will remember the bond, the bris that I made with your forefather, Avraham Avinu. And I will redeem you, mitachas siblois Mitzrayim, v'lokachti eschem li la'om. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, Moshe told Klai Yisrael, I will accept them, I will take them as my nation. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem elokeichem, and they should know with the idea, we mentioned idea, brura, clarity, with the feeling of emunah, that I took you out, ha-motzi eschem mitachas siblois Mitzrayim. You know where else you find this concept? You find this concept by Kriyashma, the bracha that we say before we are makabel ol machu shemaim, when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You know what we say, the bracha? Avos oylom ahavo rabba afonu. You know what that means? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us with everlasting love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And the Kuzari writes, then when we recite the blessing of Abba Rabba Abba Shalom about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever he does in the world is directed because of his love for Klal Yisrael. You know what that means? That means that Klal Yisrael will never, ever be destroyed. That's evidence of his great love. And in fact, I'll cite two individuals that are not Jewish that actually recognize this tremendous bond between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in 1899, the famous Mark Twain, who is a non-Jewish writer, describes his wonder at the Jewish people's unique power to survive thousands of years throughout history. The famous quote from Mark Twain, great and influential powers such as Egypt and Persia, that's Iran, rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded and passed away. Iran has only come up in the news in the last several years. The Greeks and the Romans followed and made their impact, and they are gone. Others have held their torch high for a time, but it burned out. And they no longer have any importance. It's the Jew, Mark Twain wrote. The Jew has seen them all, he's beat them all, and is now what he always was. All things are mortal, but the Jew. All other forces pass, but the Jew remains. Many have wondered, what is the secret of his immortality? We know what the secret is. The secret is HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, that's the bris with Avraham Avinu. I will make you for a great nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Rav Yaakov Emden wrote in the introduction to a siddur that our survival, the survival of Klal Yisrael, is a miracle that is greater than all the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed to take us out of Mitzrayim. When he redeemed us from the servitude, and he split the sea, and all the other miracles. The miracle of the survival of Klal Yisrael is even greater than that. Yet Mark Twain was not the only one to declare his amazement at the Jewish people's survival. In 1808, the second president of the United States, John Adams, listen to what he wrote. Quote, if I was an atheist and believed in blind eternal fate, I should still believe that fate had ordained that the Jews to be the most essential instrument for civilizing the world. They are the most glorious nation that ever inhabited the earth. This is from John Adams. The Romans and their empire were a bubble in comparison to the Jews. They have given religion to three-quarters of the globe and have influenced the affairs of mankind more and more happily than any other nation, ancient or modern. Unbelievable. And with this, we can understand what the Tzlach wrote. The Tzlach wrote that in heaven, which controls events in the world, the Jewish people are indestructible. And that's why, even though they're under attack, but we have the Emunah that the Ezes Hashem Klal Yisrael will cut through. Let's go back to Kriya Shema. In the middle of the bracha of Avos Olam Abba Rabba, which mentioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great love for Klal Yisrael, we say, Chemla G'dayla V'Yisera Chamato Aleinu. With great and abundant pity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed his great and abundant pity on us after we sinned in making the eagle. That means even after the eagle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us and he built the Mishkan for us. Further in the bracha, ki tel poel Yeshua is oto, because you Hashem are the Almighty who perform acts of deliverance of Yeshua, ubonu bochato mikolam v'lashayin, and you have chosen us. This is what it says in the pasuk in Shemais, v'lakachte li liyam. And you know how we end the bracha, baruch ato Hashem haboyche bi'amo Yisrael bi'ava, who chooses his people, the B'nai Yisrael, B'Ava, with love. And it is then that we are Makabal Ol Machu Shamayim. When we recite the Abishter's love for us, then we are so uplifted and we want to reciprocate. And therefore we accept Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem, you are Echad. Hashem. And the word, the same Hashem Elokeinu, which is Midas Adin, yes, we can go through difficult times. We can go through an October 7th. But at the end of the day, we know that there's a reason, a spiritual reason, which we may not be privy to. But we know, we feel your love for us. And after we say the Shema Yisrael, you know what we say? We're makabel the mitzvah of Yohavtet Hashem Elokecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol moedecha. What an unbelievable pshat, the insight of the Seder. First we have a bracha, we mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael, Devil Makabal HaMachu Shamayim, that Enoit Mulvadoi, and after all that, that's when we say, ah, we want to reciprocate our love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. when a person recognizes that, that's when a person wants to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we started out, I asked, why are all these things happening around Pesach time? You know why? Because Pesach is the time of year with Hashgacha Pratis, and it's Hashgacha Pratis that we experience. When we experience and we saw all the Nisim, all the Makos that took place in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Kairos. And similar to when we went out of Mitzrayim, we still want to experience, not just to read about it, not just to talk about it. We want to experience Hashem's love for us. You know what these recent events are that occurred literally within the last couple of weeks? It's to be makayim what the Rambam says. Listen what the Rambam says. The whole mitzvah of Sipa Yetziat Mitzrayim on Pesach night. You know what it's all about? Chayev Adam Laharis Atzmai. A person is obligated to see himself kiluhu yotza ato mi Mitzrayim. The Rambam adds the word ato now. It's not enough to talk about the Nisim that happened a long time ago. It's not enough to just learn about it. It's something we need to, how do you experience it? You know how you experience it? I'll tell you how you experience it. You experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us when you have a 4.8 magnitude earthquake. In the New York City metropolitan area, people in Brooklyn, people in Muncie, people in Lakewood, people in Philadelphia, people in so many of the places where there are many, many from Eden, we experienced an earthquake, something where there's tremendous potential damage. There was an earthquake in Turkey in 2023. 60,000 people died. Billions of dollars of damage. And do you know that absolutely nobody got hurt by the earthquake that was felt? Tremendous love that we experienced. We didn't talk about it. We didn't learn about it. We didn't read about it. We didn't hear somebody tell us about it. We actually experienced it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, Chayev Adam Laharis Atzmo Kilu Yotza Ato Mi Mitzrayim. Could you imagine they were slaves for so many years? The last 86 years was unbearable, difficult work. And now through tremendous Nisim, they're not even holding on that Madrega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them out of Mitzrayim. Can you imagine the elation they must have felt, the love they must have felt? I once read a story about somebody who had no eyesight. And finally he was able to fix his eyes and he had eyesight. The tremendous elation the first time he saw someone. He saw his loved ones. He saw colors. He saw the sky. They took him out to the ocean to see the sea. To be able to see the waves, the way it comes in and out, he was crying. The love, the feeling, the akaras tatay, the hagasha, the love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was enormous. It was spilling out. Seder night is not about talking about these things. It's what the Rambam says, Chai Vadam Lahad Kilu Hu Yotza Ator, now for Mitzrayim. We need to feel it. But how do you feel it? You know how you feel it? You go through an earthquake and nothing happens. You know how you feel it? The sun stops shining. But Baruch Hashem, it only stops for a couple of minutes and then it goes back. What an unbelievable ness. You know how you feel it? You feel it when you're in Eretz Yisrael. You feel it. I was on the phone with my daughter in Eretz Yisrael, not only during the earthquake that happened where I was, but she was in Eretz Yisrael during the attacks. And not one yid got hurt. Imagine the ness. You know why these things take place around Pesach time? We need to feel now. If you really want to grow in Emunah, if you really want to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaShgacha Pratis, think for a moment. When you experience all the unique things that happen to you and we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love. Recently I read a story about someone by the name of Safiya Cohen. She was a non-frum Jewish hostage in captivity in Gaza for 55 days. And she recently told her own remarkable story of Ashkocha Prophets and how it changed her life, and she's now frum as Shomer Shabbos. But listen to this. Her story began 6 months before October 7th. She was in good health, and all of a sudden she felt something very bad is happening to her. She thought maybe she was very ill, maybe she had a virus. She went to doctors, and she did many tests. One doctor told her that she had a virus. For the first time in her life, she started to daven. But she was looking for some kind of a prayer to say. She never davened before. She was not from. Suddenly, a prayer appeared in her Instagram, which said that if you pray these prayers for 30 days, you will feel better, healthy, and miracles will happen. So from that day, she started to say the prayer for 30 consecutive days. And wouldn't you know it, Bashgocha Pratis, the last day that she said the tefillah was October 7th, the day of the massacre. You see, after the first 2 weeks when she was saying this tefillah, she remembered the whole tefillah, which she said was very surprising because she said she had a terrible memory. And during the last week, the week of October 7th, she figured out that the meaning of the words of the tefillah had nothing to do with refuah, with becoming healthy. It had everything to do with a bracha to survive war. And she wondered, this is before October 7th, during the week, she wondered, how could that be? What? Why am I saying a tefillah to save me from war? That's right. And then October 7th happened. She was there. She was there by the music festival. And she heard explosions and screaming, and then she realized why she said the prayer. And she understood the meaning of the prayer. And although she was shaking, she said the prayer, and all of a sudden she felt at peace. This is her story. They brought her to Gaza where they beat her. The terrorists kept her alive because she was more valuable to them when she was alive. And she said every day she felt miracles. And the most important miracle was that she felt she had to be there. And then she realized several days later, they brought a 14-year-old girl to stay with her in the place she was being held captive. And she was machazik her. She strengthened her. And by doing so, she felt powerful and calm. Every day she would say three things. She would say this prayer, thank you, God, for sending me here. And I feel all the power you give me. And I know that I can help this 14-year-old girl. Thank you, God, for sending me all the angels to help me in this brutal place. And when she came back to Israel, she saw all the people who davened for her from all over the world. She heard about them. And she thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. And then she said she understood that the angels that she felt that were with her in Gaza were not imaginary. You see, because of her experience of this remarkable Ashkocha Pratis, from 6 months before October 7th, she started to feel this pain, and then she found in the Instagram this tefillah, which she thought would help her in feeling better. Turned out it had nothing to do with that. It was all about surviving war. She realized it was all Yad Hashem, and she's now a Shomer Shabbos. There's so many stories. I read a story about a rav of a shul in Sderot. He was in shul early in the morning of October 7th. He heard shooting and he saw many people were running. He tried to run away and he got shot in the back. Many of his organs were damaged, but the bullet miraculously went around his heart, barely. He went back to the shul and he decided to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You talk about feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu and feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Gam ki elech begeit salmovis lo yirara ki ata imodi. He felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him, and he prayed, he davened, he said, Hashem, please, I want to live. I want to continue to be rav of the shul and to do mitzvahs. And as soon as he finished the tefillah, suddenly out of nowhere, his friend came, and luckily, Ashkocha Pratis, his car was near the shul. And the friend miraculously was able to drive him to the hospital in Ashkelon. And he went to the Barzilai hospital and he had several operations and now Baruch Hashem is well. But you see, these are only two stories. And you don't have to go through war to have your own Ashkacha Pratis, to change your perspective and to experience who is in total control of everything in life. I'll share with you one more story. Remarkable story that I read had nothing to do with the Gaza war. It has to do with someone who was a volunteer for Haverim up in Muncie. And he was asked to assist a car that was stuck on Motzei Shabbos Chanukah, a few blocks away from his home, and he offered to go and help. Moments later, another call came from a middle-aged man stuck all alone in his car waiting for someone to help him. And when another Haverim volunteer said he would go to the first stuck car, the first Haverim volunteer who had agreed to go to the first stuck car near his home was asked to go to the other one 20, 25 minutes away from his home. It was an unusual request because typically they never reroute Haverim volunteers out of their normal protocol. But he was left with no one to help the second stuck car, 20, 25 minutes away from his home, late, I must say, Shabbos Chanukah. So the first volunteer reluctantly agreed to go where the second stuck driver was, miles away from his home. And when he got to the location 25 minutes later, the stuck driver thanked him profusely and even offered to pay him. The Haverim volunteer steadfastly refused to take any money. And the stuck driver then related something that showed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tremendous love for Klal Yisrael. The man told the Haverim volunteer, he said, "You really saved me tonight." He said, "I was on my way back home to get a few hours sleep because I need to get up early tomorrow morning." And when the Haverim volunteer asked him, "What, early on a Sunday morning, what do you do?" He said, "My name is Harry Siegel. I see patients on Sunday. I am an ophthalmologist in private practice." And here's where the remarkable Hashgacha Pratis comes in. The Haverim volunteer couldn't believe his ears. He said to this Dr. Siegel, "Do you practice in Woodney and specialize in cataract surgery?" "Yes," Dr. Siegel said. The volunteer was stunned. He said, "I've been hoping to get an appointment in your office for my 10-year-old son who was born with a serious medical issue. And he has vision problems. He needs delicate cataract surgery. He's 10 years old, and I was told by many referring agencies, you are my best hope to help him." And the Haverim volunteer said, "I would have called your office, but your office doesn't accept my insurance, and I cannot afford to pay for the surgery." Dr. Siegel also was stunned. He says to the volunteer, "You came all the way out of your way to help me late on Motzei Shabbos Chanukah, and you refuse to take any money from me. Well, now it's my turn to do chesed. I would like to reciprocate your kindness. Please call my office tomorrow morning and tell them that I said I will treat your son free of charge." Can you believe this? Remarkable Ashkacha Pratis. But it's more than that. This changes our perspective. Avos Olam Abba Rabba. Before we're makabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Einoid Mulvado, we need to know with clarity and to feel it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. What a perspective that perhaps we may not have been mindful of. What a wonderful way to solve some of the riddles. The love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, that the earthquake in New York caused no damage and nobody got hurt. The love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, the fact that the attack by the Iranians didn't hurt one Jew in Eretz Yisrael. Over 330 drones and missiles were fired and nobody got hurt. People are saying that it's greater than the miracles of the Scuds. It's greater than the miracles of the Six-Day War in 1967. Remarkable. Oh, by the way, I'd like to solve the riddle that I started out with. The riddle was there were 30 cows in a field and 28 chickens. How many didn't? You know who asked me this riddle? One of my married kids came for a Shabbos. And with a smile on his face, he said, Abba, I want to ask you a riddle. There were 30 cows in a field and 28 chickens. How many didn't? I couldn't come up with the answer. You know why? Because I had a different perspective on what he was asking me. Let me give you the answer to the riddle. There were 30 cows in a field, 28 chickens. It's not the number 28. It's 20 of the cows, 8 chickens. So when I say 28, I don't mean the number 28. I mean 20, stop, 8, the chickens. How many didn't? Oh, the answer is obvious, it's 10. 10 of the 30 cows didn't eat the chickens because only 20 ate chickens. When he gave me the answer, I couldn't stop laughing for an hour. And then I realized, what a simple question that was. The problem wasn't that the question was difficult. The problem was my perspective was off. And you know what the lema of the lesson is? When we see things happening in the world, yes, it's a riddle, but we can understand it very clearly if we have the proper perspective. Now, that's why these events took place within the 30 days before Pesach. We're supposed to feel the Yontif, we're supposed to learn about the halakhos of the Yontif. 30 days before the Yontif, we're supposed to involve ourselves in the Yontif, to learn about the Yontif, to start to feel the Yontif. When we go through a Ness, that there's an earthquake, 4.8 magnitude, and nobody gets hurt, where there are so many even on the East Coast. And when we go through a Ness, that in Eretz Yisrael, 330 drones and missiles are shot our way, and Baruch Hashem, nobody goes hurt. When we feel, though, because we experience it just like they experienced Emunah V'Yadata in Mitzrayim. And it's all because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has accepted us for a nation. You see, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Emunah, teaches us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. Are we going to understand everything? No. As I mentioned, Rabbi Saul Salanta said, there's a spiritual purpose behind everything. We're not going to understand. We're not privy to the spiritual purpose. It's all going on in Shemayim. The Avishta understands. But if we are margish, if we feel the tremendous love, and whether it's the missiles and the drones shot by Iran and nobody gets hurt, or whether it's the earthquake and nobody gets hurt, whether the sun and the total eclipse of the sun stops for a couple of minutes and then it continues, or whether it's those stories about the Masechta Shas where he got the money, or by Rabbi Seltzer when he was able to get the money, or about the story of this person that Nebuchadnezzar, who was a hostage in Gaza, and about that Rav who got shot. Whatever the story is, once we experience Arashka Chapotis, we're able to have the right perspective. But it's not an intellectual perspective of Emunah. It's the Hagasha, it's the ultimate, it's the crown of Emunah that so many of the commentators tell us. Rav Yerucham Lubavitz, Rav Haskell Levenstein, the Mr. Melio all tell us that when we experience the Emunah Chushis, with the right perspective, right, we are able to solve the riddles in our life. There's one last riddle that I want to give you another insight. It's the riddle of the earthquake. There's a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara explains what happens when there's an earthquake. Listen to the way Rabbeinu Hananel explains what happens when there's an earthquake. And what is the lesson when we go through an earthquake? Bior, he explains, Shabbat at the time, Sharoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzar LeYisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the pain of Klal Yisrael, Shemitzar and Oysoi, HaUmais, that the nations of the world, the Hamas, Rishoyim of the world, inflict pain and sorrow on Klal Yisrael. B'yoyse Choshib L'Havi Mabel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring another Mabel like he did in the days of Noach. V'zoyecha HaBris, just like Klal Yisrael promised Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Klal Yisrael. I mentioned the psukim in Shemais. I am remembering the bris. I am accepting Klal Yisrael Lila Om as a nation. I love them. That's the bracha that we say before. We say Shema Yisrael and then we reciprocate. We after the Shema Lekecha. Says Rabbeinu Hananel, you know what the earthquake is? The spiritual lesson behind the earthquake is Umoirid Me'ein Tipois. And you know what happens? Like drops, Ke'ein Demois, like tears, fall from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel, as it were. Umisnachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feel the peace. Shaloi La'aved Elomo, he's not going to destroy the world. Zekulai, that's all. You know why the earthquake happens? Laharois li Yisrael, to show us. Shakodesh Baruch Hu Hu Loyozvam. He will not leave us alone. V'loy Shocham. He will not forget us. V'chi Osed Lahavziron. And he will return us with the Geula. V'chol Zeh Lachazek Ez Libam. You hear why we went through the earthquake after October 7th? Right before the attack by Iran, within 30 days of Mitzrayim, v'chol zeh l'chazek ez libam, to strengthen our hearts, shelo yisyashu min ha-geula, don't give up hope from the geula, eli yisavlu oil tzorais, we should be soivel, we should accept the burden of the tzorais, of the pain, ashi yashlim hazman, until the time that the Gezeirah Shegoza HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Yoysa Megolus Kamoy Shegoza, just like he decreed Barishoyna, this is a Pasuk V'Avdum V'Onu Oysam Abba Meyushona. That's the reason why we went down to Mitzrayim. There was a decree that we have to be in Golus, which is not a discussion for now. Says Rabbeinu Hananel Uzman Oysa Golus, in the time of that Golus Hoya Yaduah, it was known. But the Golos Hazer, our Golos, Onunim so, boy, any Yodu, it's not known. Ava mi come upon him, mi call upon him. Nevertheless, yes, Zman Kotzov, the Golos, there is a set time. Umare HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'olamai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows in the world, Kamoi Oysois, wonders, Lohaydiya, Ki Yeshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kamin Kushi Nibnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels our pain. V'chi Racham of Aleihem. And his compassion for us will not cease. V'chi Osed Lahavzirun Kibbetchila. V'heim, and therefore, Kishiroyim Kach, Oimrim Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu Racham of Aleinu, he has mercy upon us. V'zichroineinu l'fonavan, he will remember us. U'mishasam b'yirasa, u'marzikim b'tayrasa. Ah, you know what the lesson of the earthquake is? What a beautiful lesson. Do not give up. The geula will come in the proper time. And if we internalize that lesson of that riddle, and if we internalize the lesson of the other riddles, you see, to answer riddles, it's steering us, the answer is steering us in the face the whole time. If we have the proper perspective, 30 cows and 28 chickens, how could I not know the answer? It was staring me in the face. My son was laughing. Nobody was able to figure out the answer to the riddle because we didn't have the right perspective. If we go through life, no matter what the events that happen, if we know that Leib Malachim B'Yad Hashem, no matter what Iran does, Be'ezus Hashem, this is all by Hashem doing. and it's his doing with love because he chose us. Haboyche ba'amo Yisrael b'yahavo, and then we're makabaloi machos shemayim, and then we try to reciprocate our hava for Hashem. If we can experience our Ashkocha Pratis stories and situations and events and feel the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, and to understand, like Mark Twain said, like John Quincy Adams said, the Jews are eternal. And this is all, like the Chassam Sofer says, happenings in Shemayim. The purpose of everything is spiritual. That's why we can't figure out when somebody says, doesn't make sense to me. Guess what? It's not supposed to make sense. Because we're not privy to the spiritual underpinnings, the whole spiritual purpose of whatever is going on in the world. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he understands. But if we have the emuna that he loves us, like we say every single day, and that's why we say it's part of Shachris in the morning and Maariv at night, and that's why Mitzrayim is the linchpin of our emunah, because it's the ultimate emunah. It's the emunah chushes. It's the experience that Klal Yisrael saw. Vaya Yisrael tayor agdoil ha-she'os ha-shem b'Mitzrayim. They experience it. It's not intellectual. It's an experience. It's the greatest, the most qualitative emunah. If we can have that perspective, guess what? We'll be able to solve all the riddles. Because we will be steadfast in our emunah, the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, that'll elevate us. And you know what brings the geula? When we daven to Hashem, because we feel that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save us, and that's chus, that's what brings the geula. My bracha is that be'ezus Hashem, we should internalize this message, to be able to be zeicha, B'nisan nigalu in the past, B'nisan asidim li'igoyel. There's so much going on in the world, so many unusual situations that are happening. Hold fast to the emunah. Feel the love. Feel the Ashkocha Pratis. Feel the Eibishter, ki ata imodi, that no matter what happens, he's with us. And in that course, we will all be zayichet in that, not only to bring the geula to Klal Yisrael b'karoy, but to be able to greet Mashiach, the Karab and Meheru, Yomenu, Amen.